Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm excited to have Cara Brown, an award-winning watercolor artist and teacher, back as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about art, beauty, appreciation, and what it means to live your music. Welcome, Cara.
Thank you, Margot. I'm so looking forward to this. What a great way to start the year.
I know. I am talking about appreciation and beauty, and oh my gosh, that is so important. And then I'm just so thankful for you and your art and how your art adds beauty to the world. It just oh my gosh. I've been thinking about a lot. I like to, at the end of each year, for quite a few years now, I've made a list at the end of the year of 25 or more things that I'm glad I did that year to remind me of what I was glad I did. And then that way, at the beginning of the year, I start trying to picture what I like to put on my list at the end of the year instead of having resolutions or goals or intentions, you know. And it's so fun.
Wow, I love that flip.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and so I was making my list of what I was glad I did in 2019, and I thought, you know, this is the end of the decade, too. So I thought, I'm going to make a second list this year, which is, what am I glad I did from 2010 through 2020? And really focus on the cool things that have happened during those 10 years, you know. And I was realizing while I was thinking about that too, though, that one of the things I am so super glad that I did during the last decade was, I think it was in 2016, my sister Tina came down to visit and my sister Barbie came up and we went to the Marin Open Studios, and that's when we met you.
Oh my gosh, I made your list.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, not just that one. I mean, you're on it for other ones, too, for being for the art that we have the calendars that we have of yours. I absolutely love your big month-by-month calendars. I think that this is it's at least the second. I think it might be the third year that I've had them up in the kitchen. And it just, you know, the beauty of them is just so incredible. And anyway, you've just added so much beauty to our lives, and I really, really, really appreciate it, and I'm just so blown away by your ability to paint watercolors. It's just,
gosh. Okay, so now I'm supposed to say something.
No,
stuck me in with all that of that appreciation. It's really sometimes hard to take in, and I'm really grateful for it. So thank you, because honestly, it is the fuel that keeps me going. You know, to be appreciated, it is. There's sort of like a give and take of energy and of mana or something, you know, that happens. You do something and you're appreciated and it gives you whatever you need to keep doing it, you know. So I am very grateful for your just generous appreciation.
You know, I had a teacher back when I was in about 23 years old. Just long story. But anyway, I don't want to get into that now. But she had said that you get plenty of cold pricklies as it is in life, just naturally. And to go around and give as many warm fuzzies as you can. And, you know, in other words, just tell people when you appreciate them or when you're thankful for them or they do something that you really enjoy or that adds beauty to your life. Just, you know, let them know. And it's, you know, that's part of why people get blown away with how much I express appreciation. But it's actually chapter 12 in my book is Feel and Express Your Gratitude, Appreciation, and Love. And it's so true. You know, I mean, it's like if you get stuck in life, if you start appreciating what you do have and being grateful for who and what you do have in your life, it really makes a huge difference. So I know
I think that a lot of people don't give themselves permission to do that, You know, I mean, I think it's, there's a certain level of vulnerability to kind of go out on a limb and express that kind of stuff. It's easier to be cynical and edgy. It's safer. And so I'm you are preaching to the choir here about this level of appreciation. And it's, but it also, before we went on live, we were having this conversation that involved gratitude. And someone I know, Alison Armstrong, said what you appreciate appreciates. You know, you think about like financial appreciation, but everything appreciates in that same way, you know. And so it just, you live this. You are such an example to me of how you use your presence and your capacity to appreciate beauty and excellence. As we both have discovered, we have way up on our lists, and then to just, you know, of yourself, share your view to the world. And so I imagine that you live in a very appreciative and beautiful and loving world. You know, it's great. It's great.
I really appreciate it. But, you know, it's funny because I've had even people that knew me back in high school that have found me through Facebook say to Dudley, okay, tell me the truth. Is she really like that? You know, the thing is, though, is that it all takes practice, you know? I mean, I find myself going back down, too, you know? I mean, it's like if I don't consciously focus on being grateful and consciously focus on appreciation and consciously notice and appreciate the beauty that's around me and the people that are around me, the animals, the angels, all of it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's so easy to get sucked into all the things that are in what I call our circle of concern. In my book, I talked about circles, and the circle of control is the middle one. That's the one where we can actually choose what we focus on and our thoughts and our actions and what we do. And that's for anything that we have control over. And then there's the circle of influence, which is a little bigger. And if you focus on the circle of control, that gets bigger. And then there's this, all the stuff that we're concerned about in the world that we can't control. And if, you know, it's so easy to get caught in looking at all the things that we'd like to make better in the world, let's just put it that way, and then go down, you know, down the emotional scale instead of up the scale. So, you know, it's something I work on every day. You know, I work on on appreciating and focusing on gratitude and reminding myself to be happy about the things that are right in my life instead of focusing on the one or two things that are wrong, especially if they're a big one at the moment, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's all a practice. But, you know, I want to talk about the quote that you had put in your email newsletter. I love your email newsletters, by the way. And people can sign up for that at your website, which I love the name of your website, Life in Full Color, and that's exactly the website, lifeinfullcolor.com. But I just love that quote that you put by John O'Donohue in there, anything in the presence of which we feel more alive. So would you talk about
that? Yeah, that's his definition of beauty. That's his definition of beauty, anything in the presence of which we feel more alive. I heard that for the first time on when he was interviewed by Krista Tippett on Being. It's a wonderful radio show and podcast. And it is, you know, when I've been a couple of years now kind of in this sort of investigation, sort of conscious, you know, I've been appreciating our beauty, I think, as long as I've been alive, but it's become more and more refined, and I wrote a series of posts around it in the last couple of years, and so when I went and you first Google beauty, what comes up is basically the physical beauty, fashion, makeup, hair, that world, and it's very female-oriented, and it's very superficial in a way, you know, that's the beauty world. And So that's the first thing that comes up. And so this definition of beauty from John O'Donohue is, as I put on my Facebook post just now, is beauty with a capital B. And it is, he spent two solid years sort of in, he's a philosopher, if anyone isn't, he's a philosopher and a theologian and a poet. He passed away in 2008, very suddenly and unexpectedly, just around his 52nd birthday.
Wow.
And I know, and so grateful that he left behind all that he did. So he studied beauty for 2 years, the nature of it, and then wrote a book, and there's a wonderful Sounds True program that he did based on the book. It's not, he doesn't read the book, but it's exactly the same content, but delivered in a more conversational way, and it's gorgeous. And it's a, what's it called? It's called Beauty, Rediscovering the True Sources of Compassion, Serenity, and Hope. And so he goes through the whole thing. It's beauty, nature, and then where we find it with our eyes, with our ears, in music, with our hearts, in interaction. And I was just sort of refreshing myself of some of it, listening to it a bit this morning, and it's in random moments. Like his gorgeous words were, every life is braided through with luminous moments. So I'm in the kitchen puttering around, getting myself going for the day, and I look out the kitchen sliding glass door, and there's a rainbow just as I hear those words.
Wow.
It's like, well, how could that have been set up, you know? And the beauty of that is also that it was so spontaneous and serendipitous, you know? Like, beauty is, it's just a second like that, that you feel alive. Like, pay attention is what I think beauty says to us. And it's what keeps me painting what I paint. You know, sometimes it's like I'm right now looking, sitting in my studio looking at a framed print of something that's not on the wall, and it's these eclairs that were from a fancy food shop in Paris, and the way someone had made them with these bright colors and arranged them so that they were like in this arrangement of kind of like squares, and not all the same colors together, so it was a certain randomness about it, and I was struck by it. Know that, and it was beautiful in its own foodie way, you know, that it became a painting, and one that was really appreciated by a lot of people, you know. So that's how beauty works. It's beguiling, you know. It sits over there and kind of winks at us, or sometimes just, you know, bops us across the forehead, like, look here, wow. So it's aliveness. And the other thing that he said this morning that really touched me was about kindness. And, you know, a lot of people have heard that the Dalai Lama says that his religion is kindness. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, my religion is beauty. And they're related. So, you know, there's something about just human interaction, just a courageous or a tender, I mean, so anyway, beauty is so not just the right lipstick, you know. It's so huge. So anyway, that's,
you know,
where that
it is huge. It is huge. It really is huge. And I went to junior college and got an AA in art, and I think I told you about that the first time you were on the show. And my grandmother had wanted me to be an artist, and I just absolutely always loved color. And that was what, you know, she talked me into being an art major because she wanted me to be an artist like her. She painted with oil paints. But, you know, but she was definitely someone who had, her home was just so beautiful. And, I mean, everything, the colors and the paintings on the walls and everything was just so beautiful. Even the views out the windows in her sunroom, I can still picture how beautiful it was, and Grandpa's rose garden and all of the different beautiful things there. And then when she would have dinners, it was dining, and it was like, when you're young, it's actually pretty hard to deal with because, you know, a couple hours for dinner, you know. But you know, the thing is that looking back on it, she really appreciated beauty and being in the moment. And, you know, it just, I don't know. Dudley just came in and gave me a post that says, "I love Kara's spirit."
No.
Totally derailed my
Hi,
train
Dudley.
Of thought. But, you know, but it's so true. I feel the same way. I don't know if you ever met Laurel Birch, did you?
Never met her, but of course I know her work and all the stuff that they made of it, you know, all the beautiful
things. Oh, I know,
things.
And Arcelle doing. She was actually, we were lucky enough to have met her a few times and become friends with her before she passed away in 2007. And she just, you know, I love that she talked about kindred spirits. And you've always, I mean, right from the very first moment we met you, you felt like a kindred spirit with our family, you know, and...
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've always
I
just felt
too.
She was that way too, and she still talks to me all the time. You know? But part
That's
of it
amazing.
Was the love of color, you know. And I mean, when Wayne Dyer talked about don't die with your music still in you, and that's why I called the show, as you pointed out in your newsletter, Live Your Music. It's because of him saying don't die with your music still in you, and that means whatever you feel called to do. And she definitely lived her music, and it's still giving people joy thanks to her daughter still producing more and more things that you can wear and more things you can, you know, calendars and notebooks and all sorts of other things, you know. And I was thinking about that with your art too could be really beautiful as scarves and some of the other things that she has. I do love, oh my gosh, my favorite, I've probably posted it a million times, pictures of it on Instagram, but my coffee cup with your art on it is just so beautiful.
No,
I
love that you use it so much. Which one do you have?
I have
a
few of them, but the one that's my absolute favorite, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's kind of these pinks and greens. It's kind of it's like the one I bought from you recently because I wanted to have a third one of it.
Maybe it's Lestina. It doesn't matter. But
no, it doesn't
yeah.
matter which one it is in the sense, of, but it just resonates with me so much, and I'm just so grateful for the beauty that you create, and like long after you're here, you're still having all this beauty that you're going to be having out there in the world that people can enjoy. So mm-hmm. it's amazing when people are able to live their music, what it can do and how it can touch other people. And yeah.
You know what that brings to me is that I was wandering around Ace Hardware on 4th Street looking for white Christmas lights because they had, you know, the old ones had given up the ghost. And it had all of this Christmas decorations. And what jumped out of all of the stuff that was hitting my eyes was this little ceramic, like, ornament, little flat thing with words on it. And it was...
Mm-hmm.
And it just stopped me in my tracks, not so much for what it was, but for who said it. And the quote was, "Think of all the beauty left around you and be happy." And it was said by Anne Frank.
Wow.
And
Think
the
of
thought
all the beauty
of it
around you
and be happy.
Yeah.
And so to, you know, you talk about someone's the beauty of their life living on beyond their physical life on earth, you know, and that even in the moments when it seems like there isn't any, and in fact the irony is that John O'Donoghue was talking about some a man who was in prison for having protested the Vietnam War, and he wrote about a tulip that he saw growing in the prison yard.
Mm-hmm.
So with all the gray and bleakness around him, that one tulip is like shines like this beacon, you know, like Clarissa Pinkola Estes says that soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. No, so it's like that the little bit of beauty amongst bleakness is you know, even more present than if you're walking through a fabulous lush garden of all of, so it doesn't, I don't know what I want to say about that, but it's just it doesn't have to be perfect and ideal and idyllic and a completely sanitized, not, you know, beauty is, it has the ability to show up anytime, anywhere.
It does. And you know what you said about it not being perfect, having to be perfect, is so true too. I mean, it brings to mind, I remember someone talking about how God doesn't make things in straight perfect lines and makes all different sizes and shapes of like an animal or trees or flowers or whatever, you know. And part of the beauty of it is that they are all different, you know.
Yeah. In fact, there is an aesthetic, a beauty of certain perfection, you know, like think Apple computers designs, you know, there's like a pristineness about it, and that's one. But it's a really hard to attain aesthetic. For me, I paint in watercolor. It's messy. I like my deckled edges around my paper. I don't paint with hot press paper, which is as this perfect flat surface, because I like to rub and, you know, I like to lift and oops, I don't want that to be like that. So, I mean, I'm so in an organic world that isn't that isn't perfect, and I love that beauty shines in it just as brightly, if not even more so.
Even more so. You know, having walked into your mom's real estate office where you have your open studios each year, and seeing the paintings on the walls, and then the ones that, like in the slideshow, it also shows you standing there with the ones that you've painted, and it just, you know, and another thing I wanted to mention to people too, though, is that you also have greeting cards that people can get. You have prints, smaller prints of the big art too that people can get, and let's not forget to talk about your art classes too, because I mean that is such a gift that you're giving back to the world too. Is the art classes and how you started teaching, and tell us a little bit about that, because even though we talked about that a bit last time, I think that's such an important aspect of it.
Well, and it continues to sort of grow and deepen in a way, in that since we talked last, we have made three pieces, we meaning all of the people who come on a regular basis on Thursday, Friday, and even some of the weekend folks who are more regular. We call ourselves the 537 Magnolia Artists. We are the artists who have the benefit of, the privilege of painting at my mom's real estate offices in downtown Larkspur. She gives that to us, the space to us, as her complete gift. She's amazing.
Aww.
And I know, she's incredible. What she makes possible in the world I don't even have words for my gratitude. Anyway, we are, it's more than just classes that I offer, which I do, and there are some weekend workshops coming up. There's one on a couple of weekends on color this spring, and some weekend workshops for those who want to get started called Watercolor Basics and Beyond. But the mainstay of what I offer are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in my mom's office. People come on a regular basis. They make it part of their life. And it's really interesting. What I have realized is that, yes, I know how to work with watercolor, and there are skills that I can share how to do. But what has come sort of naturally through me is that I am instinctive about creating an environment that supports people in bringing out the art that's in them, because it's very confrontive to be faced with a piece of paper and a brush and some paint and not knowing what the heck you're doing, and it feels like our self-worth that's coming out of us on the paper. And if you're not feeling safe, if you're not feeling like it's okay to take that kind of risk, you know, and it's risky just to put your hand in on a brush and dip it in color and put and stain a piece of paper permanently with it, because we're afraid we're going to be judged, and we do judge ourselves. It's all in there. It's all of a piece. So it's really important to me that we have a space where people feel at least safe enough so that they can take those risks. And then what happens is that you get kind of addicted to it, and people make it a part of their life, you know, because it becomes part of you. You know, there's the Gospel of Thomas quote that he attributes to Jesus, and if you bring forth that which is in you, it will save you, and if you don't bring forth that which is in you, it will destroy you. So that's been intense, but you know, it's there's something about that. I think it's exactly what Wayne Dyer means when he don't die with your music in you. You know, it's so once
you
start living your music,
you have to do it in order for you to be happy and also to give happiness to the people around you.
Yeah.
Think about how happy people are that allow themselves to live their music and to do what they feel called to do. And like, you know, you had talked about earlier, this is, I think, a really important point that people need to remember, is that you can start out with it being a hobby. It doesn't have to be that you quit your day job necessarily right away and then just do whatever the music is. And a lot of times I've found, too, with creativity, and I'm always dealing with creativity in my husband's design and photography business that I work in, and with my coaching clients and everything else, it's always working with people that are working with creativity. And it's like when you do creativity, you usually do more than one thing. I mean, that's the thing. You don't necessarily do just one thing. And I think that that's part of the problem people have with it, is they think, oh, I have to be just this or just that. And then that makes it even scarier, because all of a sudden their whole life is depending on it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's so much weight, I guess is the word, put on our expectations about ourselves. You know, like if someone says that they're, you know, they have the ambition to be an artist, a working artist, and make a living out of it. If they do, and that desire is big enough, it will happen. But what happens, I think, sometimes is that all that weight can kind of get in the way of the just doing it.
Oh,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. There's so much I could, you know, we could talk about, you know, having to do. And I mentioned this on the last show. You know, having patience and understanding that it's a process. And you can only be where you are, and you can only have the skills that you have, and at the time you do, you know. And so, it all comes down, I think, to, you know, what's here now in this moment, and what's possible now, and not, you know, trusting that however it unfolds, it unfolds, but that it's the extent to which we have the desire. And the desire is fuel, and that fuels your actions, then you can, you know, it'll unfold as it does, whether it becomes your livelihood or, you know, I mean, I, just to be really honest, I have been at this for 12 years, not having any other real job. I did for 5 years in there. I had a part-time job doing art reproduction. But now I teach and I paint and I show my work.
And
I'm just now. And what?
And sell it.
And fill, yes, I do it. I sell it, yes. And I'm just now to the point where maybe I could support myself. And I know that I could have been more hard driving with the marketing and all of that to get me further along faster. But that's no, my life didn't call that for me. I'm married and my husband works, and you know, but it takes a lot to be able to do this kind of work of yourself and make it, you know, and make it in the world, right? And I don't know.
Well, I think that basically what I'm hearing and what I would like people to realize too is that to do it for the joy of it, if it gives you joy.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we all have to be patient enough to realize that just doing it is going to be giving us joy, and then ultimately can maybe give joy to other people too if we do whatever it is, whether it's painting or singing or writing or whatever else you want to do that's creative, or however you live your music. But it's, you know, it's just you have to go with what feels right to you, and I think that's such an important part of it all, is that the feeling of love and what you love to do, and that just doing that is giving more love to the world, and the world needs all the love we can give it, you know. So.
Well, exactly, because it's because when we are in touch with what we love,
mm-hmm.
right, and let ourselves love what we love,
mm-hmm.
and express that, then the world sees us differently. So I can't
right.
tell you how many people show me pictures of flowers, beautiful flowers, and they say, I thought of you when I saw this.
Mm.
And nobody would do that if I wasn't painting what I paint and putting it out there and saying, this is what I do.
Right.
You know, and it's like anybody who loves like classic cars or fine wine or whatever, we think about them because we know what they love.
Right.
And it's like our attention, we pay attention to those things, it recreates us and it recreates our world. But you know, the other thing is that I was hoping our conversation would include today. And so if it's okay with you, I would just kind of throw this out there because
yeah,
it's
totally,
it's how, if someone's listening to us and they're wondering, okay, so what does it mean to, you know, so what kind of place can beauty take in my life? You know,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not creating and I'm not intending to create, I don't seem to be called to doing that, because
mm-hmm.
because you and I were talking about how this is a beauty is a much bigger conversation than we think it is. It's not just isn't that nice? It's a pretty world.
Yeah, it's way bigger.
Yeah, like it could really change everything. Like there was some guy who said, if you just look at all the environmental problems we have, and if you
mm-hmm.
look at them through the lens of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty is going to take us to the solution that is going to help the planet.
Exactly.
You know, like I'm looking outside at power lines, and it would be really lovely to not see those. But also, if
right.
they were underground, they wouldn't be a fire danger.
Right.
You know. So
exactly.
it's all connected. So
yeah.
the question could be: is what's the beautiful thing to do? What's the beautiful thing to say? What's the beautiful gesture?
I love that.
And
yeah.
and like you said, it's a practice. It's not anything we're going to get right away, and then we're going to forget, and then we're going to come back, and you know, we just it's like there we are, you know.
Well, you know,
and,
around the same time that I met you, that spring that I met you, I also started doing yoga with Adrian on YouTube. And I kept hearing, you know, I write morning pages. Julie Cameron got me started on those things years ago, back in 2001, and I'm still writing them. I can't believe it. It's like
wow.
I just love writing them. And I think my husband wishes that I would quit writing them so that they wouldn't be, you know, taking up room in the garage. But anyway, but the thing is that I get so much joy out of doing it. And it's a time when I don't write a gratitude book or whatever, but I write about gratitude a lot. And what I love and what's beautiful in the morning pages as well. But it just, you know, I kept hearing after my meditation around that time in 2016, focus, practice, focus, practice. I mean, it was like going over and over. And it was partly because we had joined West Coast Songwriters, which is a wonderful organization of original songwriting. And we're co-managers of the San Rafael chapter at Yet Wah restaurant. We meet the first Tuesday of the month, and we just had our event last night. So, you know, I mean, with that, you definitely have to focus. You have to be in the moment. I didn't believe I could sing, and then, you know, took singing lessons in 2007 just because I loved it. And I remember Barbara Sher saying on one of her tapes, she had this part about this man wanted to play I think it was saxophone or something like that. And she was saying that, you know, he was old enough that he wasn't probably ever going to make a living doing it or whatever, but he just loved it, and it gave him joy, and that was important. And she said that he realized that what he needed to do is to hit the right note at the right time and make a beautiful sound. And I kept listening to that over and over again and realizing that's what I need to do. I just need to focus. I need to practice and to do my best to make the right note at the right time and make a beautiful sound. And Dudley and I have been singing, usually almost every month we get to sing one song of our original songs, and it gives us so much joy. I mean, you know, it's not how we make our money, but it is something that is so joyful. And that's the point I wanted to get across, is that, you know, people, however they want to do it, you know, whether it's how they decorate their house, the clothes they wear, or whatever they do, even animals are beautiful. I mean, there's just so much beauty everywhere.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it can, and I just have to tell you this because it's just too funny. I've got the shoes right next to me, but I usually wear really comfortable shoes because I love to walk around really fast and get exercise and everything. Dudley bought me the most beautiful shoes for Christmas that we actually found them in Macy's. He took me out for a shopping spree to get some sparkly things to wear on stage. These shoes, you've got to see them later. They're like, they start out with like kind of magenta in the front, and then go to blues, and then to teals, and then to yellow greens and yellows and red in the back, and then they have all these little sparkles on them. They're high heels. I wore those last night. And it was so amazing. I'm showing these shoes to and all the women that are there, and they're all going, I'm going, look at what Dudley bought me, you know, and I'm barely walking the things, but they're so gorgeous. They're a work of art. And, you know, the thing is, it's like you can get so much joy out of just about anything, and then by you getting joy out of it, it gets other people having joy and having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
contagious.
Now, you've got some upcoming events that are coming up too, and you had given me a list of those, and I don't know if you have them there and you want to talk about them, or do you want me to mention them and then you can say something about them? Or,
well, it's basically the classes that I'm, the workshops that I'm offering, they're all on my website, but I don't know if we people want to hear about just the dates and
you
all
know,
right
why
now.
Don't
because
we, why don't we not? Because, you know, you're
yeah.
right, because that way, let's keep this more timeless, you know, where people
yeah.
can listen to this anytime
yeah.
and just benefit from it. But, yeah, on your website, there's the upcoming groups and watercolor and beyond weekends and all sorts of fun things that they can learn about there. And are you going to be doing the Marin Open Studios again this year?
I plan to, yes, I plan to. That will be the first two weekends in May. That's an annual event that I can't imagine not doing unless, you know, something
changes.
No,
that would be wonderful, and we'll definitely be
yeah.
back for that. And my sisters love to come and visit me and go. You're always first on our list for who to go see. So, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. There's... I guess what I would love to do is to share some resources, like John O'Donohue, we've already mentioned. But
mm-hmm.
There's a guy. Have you ever heard of Charles Eisenstein?
No,
Charles
I haven't.
Charles Eisenstein wrote. He wrote a book called "The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible," and
wow.
and it's somewhat sort of environmentally oriented. You know, he's definitely, I would say, kind of in the activist world,
mm-hmm.
but there's something about the way he holds the more beautiful world that's so whole. It's so holistic. It's so complete. He calls it the more beautiful world, and then there's the world of separation. And I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes thinking about things like beauty and orienting towards beauty can sometimes be perceived as kind of trivial or naive. You know,
oh, yeah.
That there's,
yeah.
Like,
I used
there's,
to worry
there's much
about
bigger
that
problems
a lot.
We
yeah.
have in the world. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 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 beauty, you know, like, we need to feed people and we need to stop the violence and we need to, you know, right all the injustices. But as I was kind of alluding to before, if there's anything that we are faced with, the more beautiful thing will always be the thing that will lead us to more justice and a healthier climate and, you know, all of that. And but then there's another thing, and that is that I don't know, I see this in other people, that there's this real desire to do something, you know, mm-hmm. to do something or be something or have some, make some contribution towards this more beautiful world.
Right.
And I think that this, whatever it is that we're meant to do, will come to us. That it isn't something that we have to force. And if we don't know, actually sitting and being quiet is the best thing to do. You know, and have beauty. Like it requires that we be in a receptive state.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a post, and I was just reviewing it this morning, and I thought that it was really kind of related to beauty, and that is that if you look at our senses, there's a way of being active and kind of from in to out, and then there's a way to be being receptive. So this was triggered by a blog post that I read by his name's not coming to me. He's a very progressive minister, and he's the chaplain at USC in Southern California. Anyway, I'll come to his first name is Jim. Anyway, but he wrote about the difference between looking and looking for. So you're going in a store and you're looking for something. You're
right.
Like on the hunt, right? And then
right.
You can also be just looking. You're browsing. You're just available to whatever's there that might invite you. And I went, oh, you can.
I love that.
So there's looking and there's seeing. Seeing
yeah.
is actually taking in what's there. There's,
and you know, I've never been a big shopper, and so when I go into stores, you're right. I don't really like to have to be looking for, but I love to just see the beauty. You know, see the beautiful color.
That's
store,
being
but,
receptive, right?
Yeah.
And so the what I would like to encourage people to do is to cultivate that side of them. You know, there's that you can hear something, but then.
Mm-hmm.
No, excuse me, you can listen to something, but then
mm-hmm.
are you really hearing?
Right.
Right? So it's cultivating the capacity to see and to hear, to let in what is outside of us in and see what happens to us, see how we respond to it that changes us, that has us have, this. So that's the way that beauty works for me is
mm-hmm.
that, I will go to like places like Filoli or even my mom and dad's garden, places that I know that might have beautiful things that I might be wanting to paint.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a process of not really knowing what it is that I'm going for. I mean, I have been in my neighbor's garden absolutely determined that I was going to take pictures of cherries to paint. And on the way out, this one rose is kind of falling into the path and the way the
uh-huh.
light hits it. And it just bowls me over. And that's the thing I came to paint. And I didn't know it, you know. So
we only have a minute left. Can you believe it?
Wow. I guess we better round up.
The time went so fast. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I love everything you said, and I'm just going to be so inspired just re-listening to what you had to say on the show. And I'm definitely going to be sharing the link for it for people to rehear or to hear the replay if they missed the original and to hear it over again and send it to their friends and family. And thank you, Kara, for all of the beauty that you add to the world and the appreciation of beauty and everything that you do. I really, really appreciate you being back on the show. And wow.
Oh, Margo, I'm so grateful. I'm, you know, the appreciation is absolutely, you know, coming in and going right back to you and what you do and how you make, you know, I wouldn't be able to have this conversation available to all the people who are going to hear it without you. And you are such a wonderful curator of goodness in the world, and I'm so grateful for being in yours. And I can't wait to see you. Be nice to
yeah.
see you after this.
Okay, definitely. Bye for now, everyone. Whatever your music is, live your music and go out there and appreciate some beauty and have a great life. You know, live your best life. That's the other thing I've been saying lately.
Yeah.
Live your music and live your best life. Thanks. Thanks again, Kara. Bye for now,
Thank
everyone.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.